Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm William English, and today's programme features the iPhone Ensemble app, or Ensemble iPhone Apps, which, and the members, three members of whom are with us today. That's Ben and Nick Evans, and the creator, Tanya Chen. Is that correct?
Yes, it is, yes.
Okay. And how many people are actually in the ensemble?
I think it's not really a set number at the moment, but when we made our debut, which was last Saturday at Shoreditch Church, there were eight of us.
Right. Yeah. But is it sort of open-ended? I mean, could there be as many as you liked?
Or? I think it would be really amazing to experiment with, say, 50 people. Right. Or I think it depends on the concert and the venue.
Yeah.
And the context. Yeah.
But today it's the Ensemble iPhone App Trio, then?
It is indeed.
So, first of all, Tanya, I think you have a sort of musical background. You are a musician in your own right, I believe.
So, yes.
Yeah? Yeah. And what about your other guys? Are these? You're going to need your microphone. So this is Ben and Nick Evans. They are. What do you do? Are you musicians or artists? Or?
We both work in digital media, but we're not.
Okay.
We don't make noises generally.
Right.
You make a lot of noise,
not
Ben.
On purpose. Not on purpose.
But I thought, aren't you a DJ, Nick?
Yeah, I have that in my background.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But you're not a practicing sound person, as
no,
such.
No, not okay. In a sort of generation sense.
No.
More in a sort of managing sense when I was DJing. But
right.
No, this is a new experience for me.
Yeah. So how did you come together for this enterprise?
Well, Benedict, I know Benedict very well, and he's my very close friend, and Nick is Ben's brother.
Right.
And then we used a Facebook page and Twitter and a lot of other social media things as a way of finding and recruiting more people.
Yeah.
So some of the people in the app Ensemble are people from a music background that Tanya knows and has worked with doing other things, and some of them were recruited solely as this.
Yeah.
So could it be said that it actually was it created through Facebook? I mean, did you come together through Facebook? Or?
A couple of the players I met through Facebook when I created the iPhone Ensemble page.
Right.
I just put a notice, a status message saying we're doing a concert. Anyone want to join this page? Anyone interested in playing?
Yeah.
So that's how I did it. But quite a few of the people who ended up playing were not actually on Facebook. They were people who I'd met.
Right.
And I knew that they had iPhones, but I didn't know them very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is it sort of, you're not precisely the first ensemble to do this? Or is there a difference between other people that have done it already?
I think there is. So I heard from a secondary source that there is possibly an iPhone orchestra or group who are part of a university, and they rehearse and they play notated music. But I haven't really heard anything more other than what.
So they stick to a score, as it were. Of some
I
sort.
Think so. Yes.
Right.
I think this is more unusual in that it's totally freely improvised.
Right.
Other people have played things using iPhone pianos and tried to produce existing notated music using an iPhone, whereas this is more about being kind of native to the devices and to the platform and to what these are supposed to do.
Mm. Right.
This is really more free improvising.
Could you? Yeah. What exactly do you do then? I mean, you start off with an application. That out of presumably hundreds of possible applications. Or?
Well, there's a kind of physical explanation and there's a musical explanation. I'll let Tanya do the musical explanation. The physical explanation is that an iPhone is a little pocket computer with a touch screen and a tilt switch. So an awful lot of people have written little programs that make noises, and that ranges from synth pianos to drum machines to, and on the one hand, but also to much more kind of interesting experimental devices that let you sort of play with sound and generate sound based on the fact that you can move your fingers around and you can move the device around in space, because it knows when you turn it upside down, and it knows when you put four or five fingers on and move them around.
Yeah.
But then from a musical perspective, I think it's Tanya, as we'll say, it's coming out of a free improvisation background.
Mm. Yes, it is, yeah. And, I mean, what I've done is I've just chosen many apps and selected the ones that I like the most, that appeal to me most musically and sound-wise. But I think that every iPhone player, every appist, I don't know if there's a term, they're going to, you know, something is there's something about the way that app appeals more to them, not just the sound, but the actual tactile, physical approach of playing. Mm. I like the apps where you can actually, I mean, all the apps involve touching the phone and making sounds, but there are slightly different approaches to making that sound. Mm. I like the ones where you just press and a sound comes out, and I think that's more to do with my background as a pianist.
Right. Hmm. Some of the applications, I mean, I've just dabbled in it. I've sort of had a look at some of them. A lot of them they're basically synthesizers.
There's a lot of synth and a lot of sample machines and a lot of drum machines, and that's fine. And there's a lot of musicians who want synths and drum machines. There's also a lot of things that are more kind of generative and programmatic. So you can sample and you can then manipulate sounds and generate new types of sounds. Uh-huh. So there are some things that make a Kote or make a piano or make a drum machine and look like a drum machine.
Yeah.
But there are other things where you can really just take advantage of the fact that you can actually touch the screen and that are trying to do something entirely new.
And would that be unique to an iPhone, or could it be? Is that something that could be done on other machinery?
I think the challenge of a laptop is the disconnection between the screen interface and the fact that you've got to interact with it through a keyboard and a mouse. So it's always going to be slightly less spontaneous. But on the other hand, when you're working on a laptop, you kind of build up very complicated kind of custom sets of sounds and tools and mechanisms and samples and so on. Mm. Whereas when you're using an iPhone application, it's always going to be slightly more simple just because you've got less screen space to work with. Perhaps when the iPad comes out.
I was just going to say that was my next question.
Yeah. I suspect that there will be an explosion of really interesting things because with an iPad you have a touch screen that's the size of a magazine and a fast processor and memory. So people will be making all sorts of interesting things for that.
So do you think that will be better? I'm trying not to sound like an ad for Apple here, but
we need sponsorship, Apple. Give us sponsorship. Yes.
But the iPad will presumably be that will be better for all of you
It would unlock more possibilities, but of course a lot of the people who've downloaded and played with music things for their iPhone are not professional musicians. They just decided that they thought it would be really cool to have a little music generation thing on their phone. So there's a question of far more people are going to have iPhones than iPads.
Right.
It's a $500 device that doesn't make phone calls.
Mm. I mean, I did when we played in the concert. What I thought was quite liberating, and it's quite different to playing with a laptop, is the fact that the iPhone is quite small, and we were just playing into mics. So we actually had this way of we could move around and swap mics.
So you were using the sound that literally came out of the phone.
Yeah, and we were using the space to move around.
Today we're kind of plugged into a central amp, aren't we? So basically we've got three iPhones here that are plugged, and we're helped by Lee, our engineer here, who's overseeing this task. Basically you're all plugged into one amp. Mm. Is that right, Lee? Yeah. So is this the first time you will have done this? Or?
It's the first time we've been plugged into an amp, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
But the thing I do like about the idea of the iPhone Ensemble is it's very democratic. It's like a whole load of people now can generally, because of apps, everyone in the world is able to pick up their iPhone if they have one and just make music now. And before, I mean...
Or make noise.
Or make noise, yeah. And so it's really great. It's very democratic.
Yeah.
I think the other fun thing about the iPhone as a musical instrument is, for example, when I was coming here, I practiced on the tube.
Oh, right.
I think it's very rare you see people practicing creating something like that in such a public environment, because I was completely enclosed until I got a bit loud and the lady next door gave me a bit of a look and was looking at my screen, and my screen had a synthesizer on it. Rather unusual. But I think that's what's also fun about it for me, is that it's it's such a mobile device that's also private.
Right.
And certainly I've seen a lot of musicians talking about, you know, the ability to just to experiment with new ideas when they're not at their studio with their expensive keyboard and their expensive sound system. Right. You can just play around with new things when you're out and about.
Yeah. Mm. All right. So you basically, and you are the first improvisers, I think, as far as we know,
because
the people at Stanford University that you mentioned are what they're doing, sort of compositions.
I believe they're doing compositions.
Probably what, imitating musical instruments most of the time.
There are pianos for iPhone and cantos for iPhone and an awful lot of fake guitar amps for iPhone.
Oh right,
it's been very popular.
So briefly, what have you all got different apps that you're going to play?
We have some overlap, but we've got a lot of different things. Yeah. Yes.
Actually, okay. We don't really know what each other have.
Right.
We haven't really made any plans.
Well, that should be
interesting.
We never did. That's why it's free improvised.
Yeah, that's why.
Well, you could start whenever you like. Then this is a live improvisation by the iPhone app Ensembler. You can take it away. Okay, thank you very much. That was great. That was the iPhone App Ensemble playing live in the studio at Resonance 104 FM. And Ben, you started with like what sounded like a sort of Carl Hutter application. It sounded, it reminded me a bit of Gershwin's American in Paris, just for a nanosecond.
Well, just to give you an idea of the breadth, so that is actually an application produced as a promotion for the English National Opera, who put on a series of pieces by Ligeti. And Ligeti produced a piece for tuned car horns, which is, I think, about 5 minutes long. And they produced a little application that gives you that piece as played by them, and then also gives you a sample pad of tuned car horns. So you can play them singly or in unison, and you could, I suppose, try and replicate the piece, although that would be quite difficult.
Right, right.
So you can play, you have a selection of 24 car horns in different notes that you can play. And so I think that was one of the things I was doing. But then I was switching out of that into a more kind of sample-based thing that lets you kind of drop 2 or 3 dozen different samples onto a playing board and move them around to create. So those were the kind of the kind of letter-based things. You drop a T on it and it makes a kind of noise.
Right, yeah.
Then I was also using 3 or 4 other things as well. So I think, you know, part of the...
You can use more than one application at a time?
Not at the same time, no. You can quit one and then go into another. So it's a kind of necessary handicap. And, of course, some of them have a little kind of startup noise when you load the application. So sometimes you want that. Sometimes you put your hand over the speaker. So I don't want anyone to hear that.
Oh, really?
That noise. Yeah. But you kind of switch in and out.
I suppose you could overcome that by having more than one phone. You could have a sort of bank of...
I hear Karl Lagerfeld has several hundred iPods scattered around his various properties, all loaded with different music. Which I think that's stage 2 for the iPhone app on.
Yeah, right.
We each have 3 or 4.
Yeah, or 10 or 15. Lay them all out.
Once again, if Steve Jobs is listening, our address is...
maybe we could program them as well.
Yeah.
You could have your own app, couldn't you? You could have the Ensemble app. I mean, it could be your own application of sorts. But so, when is your next? What's coming up? Have you got another concert lined up?
I have got something planned, but we haven't got a definite date yet. But I've proposed an idea, and we're waiting to hear back with a date.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you search for the iPhone Ensemble page on Facebook, then you'll be able to see all the future updates and listen to recordings of whatever we do.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the next thing we're playing is actually not quite free improvisation. It's probably going to be a piece called 0-00-, like 0 minutes and 0 seconds by John Cage. And it's almost free improvised, but when we come in is predetermined. What we do within that window of time is whatever we want.
Well, that will be your next concert, or that's what you're going to do today?
I think that's what we're going to do next. In the next concert.
Okay.
Not today.
Yeah, not today.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do you want to, should we do another, if you've got time to do another, we can do another one if you like. Do you want to play some more?
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I enjoyed the sampling. Astra Gilberto. Was that part? Is that sort of? Is that something you've sampled? You've just grabbed it, or is it, are you tuning into?
It's from my iPod. I mean, right. Yeah, it's just part of what right. I had anyway.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I would be playing it today, but it seemed appropriate.
Yes.
I think, Nick, you did something that made me think that flying to the moon would be a nice thing.
Right.
And I saw it when I looked down. And I saw it when I looked down.
I think you were kind of bouncing off each other more on that one somehow. Mm. Do you think? I mean, there was a more kind of interaction somehow. I mean, it felt like it could have gone on a lot longer, but unfortunately we are running out of time now. So thank you very much to Tanya Chen and Ben and Nick Evans.
Thank you.
A percentage of the iPhone app Ensembler. And how will people find out about your next concert? Suppose on Facebook?
On Facebook.
Either search for Tanya Chen or for iPhone app Ensembler, and
yep.
there are groups and pages that will appear.
Yes, but okay. Also we'll probably be Twittering about it too.
Okay.
And we Twitter a lot.
Great.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
That was Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. Thank you.
Have you got your theme?
Actually, I'll play this. This is a very different kind of telephone.
Hello?
Do you see what I mean?
Hello?
Yes, do you see what I mean?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Ah, right, yes. If at any time during the conversation you say something to me which requires a reply or a reaction of some kind from me, and you don't get a reply or any reaction, the chances are, therefore, that I haven't heard it due to the fact that I've had the send-receive switch in the wrong position. In that case, it behoves you to repeat whatever it was that you said.
Yes. For the purposes of this sort of interview, can you just describe why that is? What is
yes.
this
telephone? Are we recording now?
We are, yes.
Yes, fine. Yes. Well, many, many years ago, I designed a special form of telephone, quite unlike the ordinary telephone, which suits my special needs particularly well. It has, for me, great advantages, but it also has, like anything in this world, it has disadvantages as well. And some people would consider that the disadvantages outweigh the advantages. I take the reverse view. I think it's well worth having, notwithstanding the disadvantages. Now, enumerate the advantages? Is that a good idea?
Yes, presumably you can't hear me when you are speaking.
No. When I'm speaking, then it's on send. And if it's on send, I don't hear the slightest trace of anything that you may say.
So I can't interrupt you, basically.
That's right. Which is a considerable disadvantage in many cases. But it is, in my view, outweighed by the enormous advantages. You see, first of all, I don't hold anything to my ear. Secondly, the sound power is enormous.